So there's a principle in physics. That's right. We're going to have a little science now. It's a principle in physics called the uncertainty principle. Heisenberg formulated it. Basically, when you measure the state of a system, you change the state of a system. That applies to quarks and atoms and measuring tiny, tiny atomic phenomena. But it also applies in biology. When you monitor the state of animal populations, depending on the strategy for monitoring, you can actually change the behavior of the animals and ruin your scientific data. Here to talk about that is Jim Robbins. He's a freelance science writer who writes regularly for the New York Times. His piece on animal tracking, new strategies for animal tracking, is in today's Science Times in the New York Times, our partner. Jim, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Good morning.
What are the traditional tracking strategies and what are the new ones and how do they allow the system to be unaffected by the trackers?
Well, the old system, well, actually, the system is still in use. They would go out and catch a wolverine, for example, or a bear in a trap and put a collar on it or put a little incision in its belly and put a transmitter in it, follow it with a radio tracker or from a satellite. And, of course, you know, if you catch an animal and drug it and open it up and put something in it, it's kind of like a UFO abduction experience for an animal.
Yes, indeed. I mean, and it's invasive. And what is non-invasive tracking then?
Non-invasive tracking is to follow the animal without even seeing it sometimes, most times, and picking up its scat and taking that scat, collecting that, and maybe 20 or 30 other animals, taking it back to the lab and doing a DNA analysis on the scat and learning what that individual is like in terms of its genetic fingerprint. And then so you have a unique genetic fingerprint for each animal that you follow on the landscape, which may give you 15 or 20 samples rather than one or two from the animals that you might capture.
Now, you're talking to me from Helena, Montana, right?
I am.
So I suspect you've done some hiking in your day.
I've done some hiking, yes.
All right, so this is a combination of old-style tracking techniques of following animals in the wild combined with new DNA testing procedures to actually figure out who it is you're tracking.
That's right. You're out there on the landscape following these animals, learning where they live, where they're spending their time and so on, as well as collecting their scat. And one of the nice things about this is for researchers, it's very much less expensive than the high-tech collars that might cost $4,000 or $5,000 and require a lot of staff time. So they can do a lot more of this. They can have volunteers help them, and they can just go out there and collect turds on the landscape, and they've got a pretty good idea of what's going on.
Collecting turds on the landscape.
Yes, we all have different things that are interesting about our jobs. I mean, this is fascinating to me because I am someone who really I grew up on nature shows and the whole idea of seeing, you know, animal life. And then now with all of the debate over climate change, you know, how that's affected. But I do wonder, do you have any disadvantages with this method? Aren't there certain things that it really does make sense to track by the more invasive techniques? What's the breakdown on that?
Well, if you use both together, the old and the new, you get a lot more information. So it does add to what's the traditional methods. One researcher I talked to, though, said, you know, I got out here in this business to hold animals. He says, and this is picking up turds. He said, that's a big difference than what I was doing before. He says, I understand the need for the information, he says, but it's a change. But it does a lot of other things as well besides just give more information. For example, a lot of third world countries that want to do wildlife research, Pakistan, Bhutan, and so on, that have a lot of wildlife, this allows them to do it. They can't afford things like $4,000 or $5,000 collars and so on. So this is really an enabler for a lot of countries to look at what their wildlife are doing and to devise a conservation strategy.
Are the invasive techniques better for following the behavior of a single individual, or are invasive techniques better for determining the state of an entire population, a caribou herd, for instance?
Yeah, invasive methods are good for following one animal, knowing where that animal is every 20 or 30 minutes perhaps, or every hour or every 4 hours, because it's beaming its whereabouts up to a satellite and down to your computer. So yes, it goes deeper into that animal's behavior, but the non-invasive methods give you a bigger picture. And I should say it's not just picking up scat. I mean, there's cameras that are remotely tripped, and animals will, you know, we can tell whether there's an animal there on the landscape. A lot of researchers don't even know if the animal they're looking for is out there, and that gives them a way to look at that. There are a lot of other non-invasive methods out there. One of the Eurasian lynx researchers in Portugal will go into a cave and lay down cork, put Amazonian kissing bugs into holes in the cork, and then when the Eurasian lynx comes in and gives birth, those bugs come up, they bite that lynx, they take a blood sample and go back into the hole, and then the researchers come along later and collect
that,
those bugs.
That is clever. Well, Jim Robbins talking, my takeaway certainly is the UFO abduction analogy for invasive tracking methods of animals. Your piece in Science Times today is all about new non-invasive techniques that are a mix of the old and the new. Thanks, Jim.